You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live from the Right Side Studios. Man, we got local, state, national, covering down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is Wednesday at 4 p.m. You know what that means. It's time for a thing we call the Grand Council. I bring in two of my brethren who do talk radio, and we opine and we ping each other with questions. We don't even know the questions in advance, but we just see how we do. Anyway, let me go ahead and just call the roll. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show, also the editor-in-chief at 1819 News. You with us?
Present.
Indeed. Thank you, brother. And also from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville, program director, radio show guy, host of the Dale Jackson Show, also writes for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you here?
Oh!
All right. Fresh off the Snoop Dogg concert, too, I understand.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Well, listen, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, Boomer.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right. Here we go. Jeff, you going first. What you got?
Is Georgia lost? And I asked that in context of this Fulton County district attorney in the indictment. But imagine this, guys. What if the Jefferson County district attorney did that in Alabama, indicted former President Trump? What would that look like in Montgomery all of a sudden? And just kind of barely a peep at Atlanta. Is it now probably in the blue column?
Well, and I'll jump in there. If you look at the indictments, they also indicted one of their Republican state senators, several of their county chairmen, a former state party chairman of the Republican Party. I mean, they indicted a chaplain from Illinois, of all things. And you're right, it's been unbearably quiet. But then you look at the debacle about this was a goat rodeo, man. What a clown show. The actual clerk of the court now admits she lied about why the document was published before the grand jury had even finished their proceedings. I worry about Georgia. They're right next door to us. It feels more than purple. It feels like we've just gone blue over there. Dale?
No, I wouldn't worry too much at this particular point. There are some interceding factors here that are causing the state to appear this way, and they've lost, three Senate elections in a row now because of this. It's just, I think it's purple. I think that's true. But I think Georgia is still the South, still relatively conservative. Overall, I mean, the governor blew out his opponent, and the other factors, I think Trump was a big factor, and then you had all these other issues as well. So, no, I don't think so yet. I just think there's a drag on the ticket right now, and that causes this problem and other problems.
There's a drag on the ticket, but you know what it's like in New York. New York State, upstate New York, hates New York City because New York City drives the train on politics. Is that what's happening with Atlanta? That's what it feels like.
Probably. I think that's pretty clear here, and they've picked up some big wins, and momentum is on their side, that's for sure.
Jeff, your own question. What are you thinking?
I'll tell you what. This is still the state that gave America Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, it's still red in some parts of it. But this is kind of a telltale sign of, like, establishment Republican, Rockefeller Republicanism. And this is what happens to these states. And this is the direction Alabama is heading, if you look at it. Because Kemp and these guys, they think these gross, nasty populists, this trend in Republican Party politics is not for them. That's what's prevailing in Georgia. And I think if a lot of Republicans, they might not say this publicly, but if they had their way, they would have the same kind of Republican Party over in Georgia here in Alabama.
Well, and I will say this. I will backtrack one moment, too. Their state legislature was the first one in the nation to have a state freedom caucus in their legislature. So there's pockets of conservatism. You are surely correct. All right, Dale, if Dale Jackson can recover from his Snoop Dogg concert, ask us a question. What you got?
I have a Snoop Dogg related question that I was going to save till the end, so we'll get to that in just a second. But my question is this: on the redistricting stuff. I know we're all in a text thread together on this issue, and I've been following along. I would liken what it appears the Republicans have done here is responding to an email without reading it. Like, they just saw the headline and they're like, "Okay, yeah, fine, we'll go down and we'll draw some new maps." And then they get before the judge, and the judge is like, "Did you read the whole thing? Like, what are you doing here? What is this response?" And now, I think we all know that the plan here is, "Oh no, please don't kick it out and draw your own lines." Oh no, okay, fine, Supreme Court, help us. But it just seems like they could have tried a little bit harder or defended it a little bit better.
I'll go one step further. Not only did they not read the email, it feels like, although I think they sort of met, I'll be honest with you, I think they arguably met the intent of the way the wording came from the Supreme Court. But one of the most aggravating things to me is watching the way they, like Representative Pringle throws Senator Livingston under the bus. Could y'all have had any leadership at all, get everybody in a room and say, "Fellas, what's the plan? Here's the mantra. We're moving forward as a team." No, you've got Pringle acting like a total, dweeb and throwing his colleagues under the bus. "Well, my plan was better. I wish we'd just gone with my plan. My plan would have helped." That was just absolutely classless, in my opinion. Jeff?
This is what Chris Pringle does, though, and he's done it throughout his career. But I will say that discussion for another time. But I thought this was a risky proposition. I don't know if this was good legal advice the Attorney General's office gave to the legislature. This is where a lot of this came from. I feel like it was a long shot. I don't know where it's going to go. But look, Eddie LaCour is supposed to be a very competent guy as our Solicitor General. They need to start getting some W's on the scoreboard, prisons, this, whatever, VCAP, whatever else that they got before them in federal court.
All right, next question here. I went on a rant earlier on this show about an article that came out on Alabama Daily News quoting Representative Andy Witt, Republican out of Harvest, North Alabama. This is the gambling legislation. There's an ad hoc committee, he says, getting together to write their legislation. But what gets me is the way Representative Witt portrayed his thoughts on the matter. He says he went to at least 12 illegal gambling sites with electronic bingo machines, meaning he's visiting illegal sites. Doesn't mention whether he called law enforcement to say as a state legislature that he knows where they are and that he was there. I wonder if pictures are available. But then he goes on to say, it's illegal, it's happening anyway, it's unregulated, and we're not getting any revenue from it, so we need to legalize it so we can tax it. And I thought, that was the lamest, we'd say that about prostitution. Why don't we just go ahead and say, child trafficking is illegal, but we can make a lot of money on that if we just legalize it and tax it. Your thoughts on this. Go ahead, Jeff.
You can't compare gambling to child trafficking and prostitution.
You know what I'm saying. You know exactly what I'm saying.
But that's
the lamest excuse for ever upholding
something. I understand the analogy, but the danger is the moral equivalency. You can't do that. But there are
moral
places,
equivalency, breaking the he's swore an oath to
but
uphold
all laws
the protected
the same. You can break the law.
No. You're not
the law.
Are you giving him a pass?
Totally different thing.
Are you giving him a pass on this?
I think you need to let me talk here. Anyway,
I think you need to talk sense.
There are arguably illegal gambling places. Country Crossings down in Houston County. Some of these things going on at these horse tracks or used to be horse tracks. I mean, define illegal gambling, and I think that's sort of where Witt's playing fast and loose here. But I don't think he has like an obligation as a member of the legislative branch to act as some sort of law enforcement agent personally.
No. If you go down somewhere and you witness something and you are sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United of the state, and you see something you know is breaking the law, don't say, "Well, I went there 12 times and it looks to me like it's happening. So why don't we regulate it and tax it?"
Senator, you can have the opinion that they're breaking the law, but maybe that local jurisdiction, as is the case in Greene County, doesn't think you're breaking the law. You can say this is illegal. There are lots of illegal gambling facilities in the Black Belt. that are operating legally in the eyes of the law enforcement there. That's a problem. Jefferson County as well.
That's a problem. You're right. That's a problem.
But it's not. What's it's responsibility? A problem. What's he going to do? Call Steve Marshall and say, hey, you need to come break this up? I mean, I'm sure Steve Marshall is aware.
I am appalled at your position on this. Dale, why don't you weigh in?
Well, I love gambling. I will point that out. I play in a poker game online every couple of weeks. I will tell you, this whole thing is easily solvable by enforcing the law.
Enforcing the law is
written. As for Witt and whether or not he should be saying where this place is, I think he should. I don't think he has any obligation to do so. And I think his argument is incredibly weak that if something is happening and it's illegal, we should just let it not happen. Or excuse me, we should tax it and everything will be fine. Go down and make the argument for legalizing the gambling and let's get this going. If you want to make that argument, go ahead. But all they want to do every time they do it is cut a sweetheart deal for somebody, and that's just not going to fly with a lot of people. So I still don't think we're having serious conversations. Not that this isn't a serious conversation, but I just don't think the legislature is having a serious conversation about this issue. And this just muddies it, I think, even further.
Totally agree. They unhinge themselves every single time.
Also, I wish you'd tell me where it is so I could go.
Oh, there it is. Okay, now we know. All right, but you don't have an obligation to uphold and defend the Constitution of the state of Alabama.
I'd tweet about it.
Yeah, you would. I know you would. All right, let's take a break right now while I recover from Jeff's opinion. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, Grand Counsel with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, and Dale Jackson from WVNN in Huntsville, also for Yellowhammer News, and just little old me, just wishing we would uphold the law. Phil Williams, we'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. Round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poore from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile and 1819 News, Dale Jackson from WVNN Huntsville and Yellowhammer News, and me. And we're back to round two. Jeff, you're first. What you got?
Stephen Reed makes his way around cable news doing a national media tour on the backs of this weird riverfront incident. Can these three suspects charged with third-degree misdemeanor assault get a fair trial in Montgomery, Alabama?
Well, it depends on how they pick the jury. I mean, I look at this and I think Stephen Reed is such the epitome of racial politics. I mean, he plays that card like he's got no other card to work with. And yet we're seeing right now that the police have not even charged anybody with racial-based crimes. It was obviously a bunch of trashy people from both sides getting in a fight. I mean, you had one guy wailing on a woman who was laying on the ground with a folding metal chair. Maybe they can get a fair trial, but like I said, it's going to be dependent on how they select the jury. Dale?
Possibly. Remember, Reed in the beginning sort of intimated that there was no evidence there was anything racial, and then his experience as a black man meant that this was tearing at the fabric of our democracy.
Yes.
Let's not take what he's saying too seriously. But, yeah, it probably impacts what's going to happen there. Maybe they'll have to move the trial.
Maybe so. Your thoughts on it, though, Jeff? Y'all wrote about this in 1819, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, doesn't it strike you as odd? The mayor is so vocal. I mean, I don't know if this goes to trial or not, but if I'm a defense lawyer, I got to be thinking in the back of my head, like, there's all kinds of grounds or misconduct, or you know, whatever you want to call it, by the city of Montgomery, who'll be the prosecuting this case. It just seems like they are playing way outside the rules and giving a layup to whoever defends these guys if it gets that far.
Well, yeah, and I guarantee you, one of the first things that any defense counsel would do if it has to go to trial is demand a change of venue. I mean, you've got at one point in that same article that discussion that Dale just mentioned. Reed even said, "I'm a former judge." Well, he was a probate judge, not a criminal court judge, but But he even said, I'm a former judge, which is intimating that he understands the legal system. And so he's definitely trying to poison the well. But I would seek a change of venue. Personally, I would. Absolutely. Next question, Dale, what you got?
I am motivated by the Honorable Phil Williams against the scandalous Jeff Poore in saying that we should report crimes when we see them. So I'd like to report that there were people smoking marijuana at the Snoop Dogg concert.
Not the Snoop Dogg concert.
I know. It's crazy. My question is semi-related to that.
Was he puffing on a hookah with Martha Stewart on stage?
She was not there. However, it did look like a Trump rally, so she might have been in the crowd. Everyone there was I was the youngest person there and the least white person there as well. It was quite a thing. Anyway, my question is this. Is there some sort of rule that says that if there's a band or something on stage that the laws don't matter? I mean, they were throwing marijuana off the stage into the crowd.
I was going to tell you, I have a distinct memory of seeing Van Halen in 1981 in Birmingham and David Lee Roth getting on stage when someone threw him a joint and he held it up, lit it on stage and smoked it and talked about how great it was to come to Birmingham and have someone give him free pot. And I thought, there's no police anywhere in sight. This is awesome.
There are cops everywhere. I'll tell you how much those cops are high right now. I'll tell you, they might want to drug test those guys.
Jeff, your thoughts on Dale's wild night with the ganja man?
I tell you what, the word, it was spread quickly down my way that Dale got into some kind of physical altercation after the Snoop Dogg concert, and I was asked by repeated texters to get Dale on to come talk about it, believe it or not. But I thought pot made you mellow.
The marijuana,
you were on radio in Birmingham, and I was like, well, I can't bother him. But the marijuana thing, I mean, it does seem kind of like a lost fight now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's so prevalent, and it's, you know, hey, you know what? Why don't we just legalize it and tax it? that's the way of the world now, right?
They were smoking weed. Arrest those people.
Let's tax it. We can get some money off of this somehow, can't we? It's here. Why not? All right, last question I got for you. One of the most predictable things that I predicted just a couple weeks ago, and then I heard it also from Congressman Dale Strong, I said, we're going to find out that Space Command, General Dickinson, actually just bought his retirement house. Now we know he apparently did. With about a minute left, split it up, fellas. Your thoughts on General Dickinson buying his retirement house and then advising the president to keep Space Command in Colorado?
Dickinson lied. I mean, that's basically it. And he played pretty good. He bought a house before they made the decision to keep Space Command there. I wonder how much that impacted the cost of the house.
I just can't imagine, Jeff.
I mean, I hope this isn't what our congressional delegation hopes to get Space Command back in Alabama, what they're going on. But, I mean, yeah, it's certainly a tragic and an unfortunate anecdote, but I'm not sure it makes a hill of beans.
I don't think it will change the tone overall, but I think it provides color commentary on where we are right now. But anyway, all right, fellas, I appreciate you. As always, lively and spirited. Grand Counsel, Jeff Poore, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile, host of the morning Jeff Poore Show, and also the editor-in-chief of 1819 News, Dale Jackson, WVNN, up in Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show, writing for Yellowhammer News, and just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Dipper number 3. We'll be right back.